Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
Yeah. All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 198. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram. You can find this show at Lost in America Pod. I think that's all the announcements. Oh, and also Patreon, Cap. Tell them about our show on Patreon, how to support us.
We do for three episodes a month. We give you three extra episodes. Oh, three episodes a week. 3 months, that would be nothing. That'd be highway robbery. But for $5 a month, you get three episodes a week, three extra episodes about our lives in quarantine. It's called Live from the Bunker.
The point is, you're supporting this show.
To support the show and to get great content. We're not asking, we're not begging. We're giving you something.
These shows are amazing. These are the best shows on planet Earth. Also, Kaplan, people say, "Oh, this episode brought to you by Wendy's. This episode's brought to you by Arby's, DraftKings." No, our episode is brought to you by our Patreon subscribers. We do no other ads. There's no ads on the show.
We're not advertising for gambling that's going to give you a gambling problem and make you join DraftKings and gamble away more than $5 a month anyway. So,
but we might have to if you don't give us money.
Exactly.
So, on the show today, we have Peja Bajovic from currently in Croatia. He's a Croatian citizen.
Live from Croatia.
He has a complicated story, so I wanted to get it right. He was born in Montenegro, grew up in Serbia, and now is a citizen of Croatia. We're talking, he's going to be on in a second, but Cap, we're talking about the deal, the great deal that our dear leader brokered between.
I mean, it's a different peace deal. We get once a week peace deals here.
Well, let's explain what it is. He brought between Kosovo and Serbia, right? Yeah. The United States government flew in. They said, this has been an issue for years. We're going to solve this in 2 weeks. Yeah. And they came in and Trump sent one of his cronies in and they got Rick somebody. And Rick came in and he said, I've been studying this for a month. I got it figured out.
He came in with pens and paper and said, sign this.
They've been at odds since 1998. Serbia and Kosovo, and he came in a couple of weeks he solved the whole case. Cap, what do you know about this part of the world?
You say 1998, and I always, when you talk about this part of the world, I think about the 90s. I think about, you know, I was very upset when I was a child when they went to war because I loved the Yugoslavian basketball team. I didn't want the country to break up because I loved having Vladi.
They could have won Dino multiple Raggio gold medals.
Coach, I wanted to see them play the dream team. I was very upset. Exactly. And I think that Trump's the same way. Our president, it's like he was watching The Last Dance, the documentary about the Chicago Bulls, and he's in a 90s mood. And he said, first, I'm going to bring peace to the Middle East. You know, that happened in the 90s. Then I'm going to bring peace to Serbia and Kosovo. So I didn't know they were still really at odds. I thought, like, I knew everybody hated each other. I knew, like, in my mind, I'm like, Serbians hate Croats. And everybody hates everybody. That I get. But I thought they actually had, like, I thought they had normal relations this whole time. I didn't know, because I'm not like Trump. I'm not such a brilliant mind of the world who knows the ins and outs of international relations. So I was unaware. Thank you, Mr. President, for solving a problem I didn't know existed.
I didn't know much about it either. I didn't know much more than you did, Kaplan. I knew that I knew that Kosovo and Serbia didn't get along in 1998. I thought that was settled. I thought we'd moved on to something else. Yeah, apparently not at all.
No.
But also, I don't think anything happened here.
Right. Okay.
I've been studying it for the past few days, and I can't figure out where the there is there.
Where the there's there.
Yeah. Is there anything there? It seems like they're going to be running more trains between the two countries.
Very important. Commerce.
And there's something going on with Israel, which seems to be the main part of it.
That's what I caught also as the Zionists of the program. I have never heard Israel and Kosovo ever come up in conversations like there was any sort of anything, but apparently they're going to move their embassies to Jerusalem to
Serbia,
which is like a show. Serbia. And I think Kosovo aren't they both? Aren't they like jointly?
I don't know.
Them,
let's
like,
get into
on a truck
it.
Together.
Let's bring Paige in.
So let's bring him in to find out.
All right. I want to give you a proper intro before you start. As we said, you have, I don't think I did say this, but you do comedy based in Croatia, but you travel all over the Balkans. You have a comedy special out in English called The Balkan Brain that everybody could go check out. You were at the Seattle Comedy Competition in, I don't know what year, but you performed in the United States of America. You started the scene in Croatia, the comedy scene. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being on the show.
Hi, guys.
Big man, intro, right?
Yeah. Intro is actually rather sexy. Thank you. But, you know, I mean, I thought myself being a loud one, but hey.
Oh, yeah.
We try to be louder.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I submit before you guys.
No one's louder than a loud American, Peja.
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, actually, that's one of the stereotypes, right? Yeah. But, okay, we are loud around here and lively and like to wage wars and stuff like that. So from the introduction about the situation between, the frame of former Yugoslavia breaking apart almost 30 years ago, and then, you know, the last war that we've had was actually not the one in Kosovo, but the one in nowadays Northern Macedonia. It was not really a war, but, you know, like a month of armed conflict. So we have plenty of those. And you guys, not knowing much about what's been going on around here, doesn't make you stupid Americans. It just makes you people who are confused as much as we are living around here. So we don't even know what is really been going on and how it started, why it started, what happened, and what's been going on right now. Emphasis on the latest thing that took place in Washington a couple of weeks ago.
So, okay. Well, that makes us feel better about ourselves.
Yeah.
We know as much as a Croatian knows.
Problem solved. Moving on. No.
Croatians, Bosnians, Serbians, Kosovars, you know, Macedonians, Slovenes, Montenegrins. I mean, all the little nations that inherited the Federation of former Yugoslavia, you know. So, the thing in Washington signing some kind of a historic or as W back in the day would put it, historical agreement, came a bit of a surprise and a confusion because there are so many interpretations on what took place, what was signed. Is that a new beginning or end of the beginning or beginning of the end? There's so many details that started pouring out and fake news along the way, you know. So, yeah, some trains will start, like you said, and we know that some commercial thingy is agreed, and then out of the blue, Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's one of the top priorities, right?
Yeah. It's like, what? That was... For us, that was like, Kosovo, Serbia, but what? You know, and Serbia agreed to move their embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and Israel and Kosovo agreed to recognize officially one another as states. So I mean, that's a big, yeah. So, I mean, there is some achievement, some thing, but don't count on us being insiders and knowing much better about the agreement itself or whatever is signed. Is it the agreement or just
I'm not sure. I watched the press conference by the, I think his name is Rick Green Grinnell, but he's the guy that Trump sent over to come figure the whole thing out. And based off his press conference, I don't think he knew what was being signed in the document. They were pressing him for answers and he didn't really have many answers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that's just like the White House staff just throwing in bits and pieces, you know, it's like, what do you think? And, you know, and the big guy is like, have it signed. I don't care. You know? So, the points that we've been through, some commerce, some traffic, maybe some infrastructure. Apparently, you know, America is coming back to Serbia with some, you know, investments and development agencies and stuff like that. I mean, you know, we can talk until tomorrow about the whole big picture of the Balkans between East and West and Russia and China on one end and Europe and United States on the other end. And that's pretty much the story. You know, we're in-betweeners. So, you know, big players like to play games with us and, you know, and we agree to that. That's our problem.
Are you going to get a Trump hotel? Is that infrastructure? Is that...
Come again?
You're going to get like, I think you're going to get a Trump hotel. That's what it means when we say we're going to bring you some infrastructure, some spending. Well,
exactly. And Melania will have at least one big avenue named after her.
Oh.
Well, they
because, you know, she's Slovene. She's next door. Yeah. So, she was born Yugoslav. So hi.
Does Trump know that, you think?
But yeah. That's actually a really good question. Does he connect the dot? I think he doesn't. Otherwise, he would emphasize that.
Yeah. He's never had.
Right. During the whole ceremony, like he would be something like, my wife was born in this unfortunate country, you know, killing one another for hundreds of years. And
that's such a good point. He didn't mention that once, right?
He didn't know, and she didn't bother to remind him.
He did mention that he stopped right turn of the he saw there was a he was given a speech where he said he stopped the mass killing. He said,
well, yeah, but just, yeah, but
yeah,
okay, yeah, are there but, mass killings? He told the American people there's mass killings. Yeah,
he
going
told
on
us this
between Kosovo and Serbia right now.
All the wars that we've had around here and armed conflicts stopped 20 years ago. So the last one stopped 20 years ago. Yeah, and you had and very few armed conflicts, especially in Kosovo post the war that took place there, you know. Sorry, I'm just, it's not the earthquake. No, that's a big fat lie. I mean, in history, we had a lot of wars. We have, to be honest with you, too much history for such a small geography. But, you know, bloodshed, conflicts and stuff like that a couple of decades ago stopped. We have a lot of corruption and political tension and stuff like that. But that's actually just our ruling elites, political elites using that as a political agenda, you know, being each one respectively defenders of the national security and stuff like that. Oh, look at those guys. We're here to protect you. But no war, no conflict, nothing.
So just for a little history, for the past, at least between Kosovo and Serbia, just to catch our listeners up, if they're wondering what's going on, they have had... So Serbia has not recognized, they split in 98 with a war, right?
And well, then, officially, they technically split because there was a NATO intervention, which resulted in Serbia, Kosovo being a province within Serbia, splitting from Serbia and it's been given an international United Nations led administration in 99.
And the US backed Kosovo because I know Bill Clinton has a street named after him there, as far as I understand.
and a statue and stuff like
and
that.
And a statue, yeah. And so, but as you said, it was a little murky. It wasn't a clear cut. These are two different countries, right? And so then Serbia from that point on has not recognized Kosovo as a place.
No, that's their biggest international issue. Kosovo is the heart of Serbia.
Yes.
Historically, there is ground to it. You know, in medieval ages, you know, the Serbian identity and spirituality in terms of this like Orthodox religion actually started in that part of the region, Kosovo and surrounding area. You know, and then after that, Serbia grew as a nation outside of it. But in fact, you know, for decades, you know, Serbian presence was degrading largely. So the whole political tensions from the 70s and 80s of the past century on and eventually resulting in the armed conflict and the war and the separation was kind of a natural development.
Okay. And what's been their relationship since 99?
Between two countries?
Yeah, from then until now.
I never said countries. Sorry, the Serbian audiences. I never said countries.
I get it. Yeah. Well, what's the two regions or whatever? I don't know the term we're supposed to say.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, you know, when I introduce myself to the media around here or internationally for that matter, you know,
yeah.
And when they ask me how many countries did you perform that, I was like, yeah, it's been 31 countries or 30 if this interview is seen in Serbia. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, post-war is a post-war, you know, the borders were somewhat, you know, shut and then started opening and, you know, some commerce been going on and, you know, Serbia saying, well, yeah, you Kosovars, which are majority of the Kosovars are ethnic Albanians. So non-Slavic, the language is completely different. You have to understand, for example, for the rest of the Yugoslavia, Serbian, Croatian, Bosnian, and officially Montenegrin, four languages are one language, at least in spoken terms. The differences between those four is like British English,
accent and yeah,
Irish, North American, and Australian. So everyone understands one another completely, fully. There are different words for certain terms, but everyone understands one another. You just can hear who's from where. Whereas Albanian, which is majority in Kosovo, is different. It's very different. It's an ancient language, non-Slavic. And, you know, throughout the history, their culture was, you know, grew in different direction compared to the Serbian and the rest of the South Slavic ones. So, you know, you can't really follow that much their media and vice versa, because you don't understand it. Whereas, you know, throughout the 90s and the wars we had in former Yugoslavia, you were able to watch the other side's news, being Serbian watching the Croatian news or Bosnians watching the Serbian news and stuff like that. And you'd be angry at them because they are liars and propaganda and haters and stuff like that. But in between Kosovo and Serbs, only the Serbs living in Kosovo, which made less than, I think, 10% in the 90s, some of them knew Albanian. And on the other hand, some Albanians at the time, maybe 70% spoke Serbian, but as the time is passing, Albanians, I did a gig, The Balkan Brain, the one that you mentioned earlier. I decided to tape it because it's in English. I was thinking where to do it. And I'm like, I won't be doing it in Croatia because being Peđa Bajović performing in English, people would, you know, make fun of me, you know, it's like, what are you pretending to be? And that went for the rest of Yugoslavia. And I was like, maybe Hungary, but nah, these guys are like, nah, Austria. Oh, that's already, you know, Hungarians are funny people in many ways, but one of the, their specialties is they're not as interested in the rest of the world. And So going further, Austria, too expensive. That's real West and stuff like that. Then it just came to my mind, Kosovo. Because, yeah, because to them, some guy called Peja Bajovic or put to most of them sounding, you know, coming to perform in English is not as unusual. And that was one of the best decisions I've made in my life.
So you did one of the best shows.
Yeah, I went to Kosovo, yeah. Some people still don't believe me. Some people from around here still don't believe me. I have recordings and everything. the Serbs especially, they go, no, that didn't happen.
And how did it go? I mean, how did the audience react to what you were talking about?
One of the best shows I've ever had in my life.
We got to go, Cap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they, they're eager. I mean, people, not like common Kosovar people, you know, who are like all the other people of that sort in the Balkans, very traditional, very folky and stuff like that. But people like, you know, two of you and me, you know, people living in the cities, having the knowledge of at least one foreign language and stuff like that, they're eager for live events of that kind, you know. And I've had some of them approaching to me after the show, thanking me. Thank you for coming. Because, you know, It's a tiny place, somewhat isolated, and you know, not as attractive to people to come to. Comedians that from outside of the world would come would be mostly American comedians performing for the troops.
Yeah,
that are based there and not bothering into looking to do it for the civilians outside of the compounds.
Yep. Wow. Yeah, so that's amazing. So the US is backing, well, Kosovo up until this point. And as you had said, I think you kind of talked about it briefly, but Russia and the East is backing Serbia. And that's kind of, has that been the head of the conflict right there?
Well, Russia is backing itself. Okay. So that we have to understand that, you know, the presence of the West in this region is, ever since the Second World War, you know, rather strong. And after the fall of the Berlin Wall and everything, got even stronger. And Soviet Union at the time was here, but not so much. One of the, let me put it this way. Hear me talking?
Yeah.
I've never had English at school.
Yeah, wow.
I'm a typical representative of my generation. Growing up in 70s and 80s and, you know, maturing in 90s, being exposed to the American and British entertainment.
Okay.
And because, you know, Yugoslavia at the time was a socialist country, but it was rather open because of, well, some kind of agreement signed like this one in DC, vague and you don't know, but at some point, you know, in my childhood, suddenly we have Hollywood movies and TV shows in English and everything. And our tradition in former Yugoslavia is not synchronizing, dubbing over the original, but subtitling. So, you know, and not many people of my generation speaks Russian.
Okay. That tells it all, right?
Right.
Yeah. Although culturally, we are, being Slavic people, you know, we're closer to them in many ways. And now, you know, in the past decade or so, since Putin kicked in and everything, they're coming back, but they're coming back with brotherhood, and we have oil, we'll give you cheap oil, but you have to pay, and we will defend. And the whole thing, you know, like I said earlier, you know, we're the tiny corridor between Europe and the Middle East, and that's pretty much the only significance we've got. You know, we're just here, and no one really needs us. They just need location, and so we have people approaching throughout history. Oh, we are brothers. Here's money, you know, blah blah blah, stuff like that. And now in a present day situation, geostrategically, you have Kosovo claiming independence from Serbia, and you have Crimea being taken over by Russia.
Yeah.
So that's the, I don't know the word in English, might be the leverage or the we say the ace in the sleeve when you play the poker.
Yep,
you
know, ace in the hole. We say ace.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, I think that this is Russia's, you know, standing on this. They, you know, officially support Serbia, but if the West would come to Putin and say, okay, you let go Kosovo, we let go of Crimea. I think he would say, duh. So that's the game played, you know.
So it's not over natural resources. You think it's just positioning near the Middle East is why everyone's so interested? Why the U.S.?
Yeah, I think it's more of a location rather than natural resources. I don't know what kind of resources we got. I mean, we've got plenty of water. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
the next war is going to be on water, they always say.
Yeah, I guess. Well, yeah.
They've been saying that forever, though.
Yeah, we have a lot of water, but I guess a lot of water for our own needs. I mean, mind you, Balkans is not as big. So,
because the EU was, the EU was, as far as I read, the EU had been kind of trying to deal with this Serbia Kosovo case for a long time. And then Trump and his guys just like parachuted in and took over and magically came up with this peace thing a couple weeks ago, which is more as we find
emphasis of magic rather than deal
than real. So,
well, you have to understand European Union being a greatest story of in history of the continent, really. I mean, I love it. I love the idea. I love the concept, but it's a work in progress. And even talking about Kosovo and its independence, even some EU members don't recognize it. And those are the countries that got issues with their own ethnic or national minorities.
Spain, right?
Spain with the Basques and Catalans, or Romania with Hungarians, or Slovakia, I think also Hungarians and stuff, you know. So there is no consensus within the EU, but EU is not a federation or union such as the states. So member states do preserve some sovereignty in matters of international affairs. So, and, you know, having them to agree on how to proceed on this issue in Kosovo and Serbia, you know, it takes too much time and effort and bureaucracy. Whereas if you have someone, like Trump saying, what's on the menu, Kosovo, let's get it done.
No
matter how, do it somehow and, you know, fill the media with, you know, us being the problem solver.
Especially before November 4th, which is our election date, right?
Yes.
I don't know why he thinks this deal is going to help him exactly, but he just wants to talk about things that he can't.
Yeah, he somehow thought this deal is going to help him push him past Biden in the election, which
he's the
real swing voters in Michigan really care about.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I remember I lived in the States for a couple of years, and I was actually there in 2000.
Where'd you live?
Ohio.
Oh, there you go.
Ohio. Go Bobcats. I don't know. it's a thing to say. Buckeyes is the Cincinnati. Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, Bobcats, Cincinnati, exactly. Yeah. Nice.
No, it's not Cincinnati. Athens, Ohio. Athens, you ignorant Ohio. Americans.
But the Bobcats,
we're in New York.
Ohio,
you're more
Ohio.
American than we are in Ohio. We're in New York.
Wait, but are the Bobcats the Cincinnati team?
I know there is Athens, Ohio, where Ohio University, Ohio's first
Ohio
and finest,
University.
Is
we
located.
Couldn't even find Turner and I couldn't even find Ohio University on a map. So you beat us.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing: when I got the American scholarship, and there was a reception at the American Embassy in Sarajevo in Bosnia. I was a Bosnian citizen at the time, in 2000, 20 years ago, and there was a guy from DC and. He's calling out our names and telling us where we're going to be located. And he goes, Peđa Bajović, yes, Ohio University. And I was like, woohoo, Cleveland. He was like, why Cleveland? Well, Ohio University should be in the capital of the state. He's like, no, Cleveland is not a capital of the state. I was like, oh, what's the capital of the state? Columbus. Woohoo, Columbus. No. Columbus is Ohio State University. I was like,
that's the one you want.
And I was like, so where is the Ohio University? Athens, Ohio. And I was like, yeah, man, Georgia. REM. Yeah, and you know, I was like,
REM.
Yeah, Georgia, like, yeah. And he was like, no, that's Athens, Georgia. I was like, man, what's in Athens, Ohio? And he goes, well, Ohio University. So there was a full circle. And I remember it was the year 2000 and the elections of Al Gore versus George W. Bush. And I mean, I was rather political, although a newcomer. I go to country in August and the elections were in November. And I remember Ohio people over there, the natives, being surprised. Like, why do you care so much about the outcome of American elections? I was like, here's the thing. The outcome of American elections in the year 2000, the vote of you, John Smith, of Athens, Ohio, matters more to my country's affairs than my vote in my country. That was the situation, the deal at the time. It's somewhat different now, less direct, but 20 years ago, it was very much so.
What would it have done, like if Gore won versus Bush winning in the year 2000 in your country? You know what I mean? How did the vote?
Yeah. To for us to project.
Yeah.
I don't know, because W got busy with Iraq and everything. So we kind of slided off, from the priorities of the agenda.
Yeah.
So,
I guess we were pretty, well, we were involved. Well, Clinton had been involved in all the Kosovo type stuff. So then,
and Gore would most probably, follow that policy. I don't know. I mean, in the year 2003, there was a assassination of the Serbian prime minister, the very progressive guy.
After Milosevic.
Yeah. After the one who succeeded him, in the elections and all the, protests that we had, similar to what's been going on in Belarus right now, that guy got killed, assassinated, by the, political rivals, but it's still unclear which ones. So if Gore succeeded. I mean, I say that in the elections, presidential elections in 2000, George W. Bush actually got decided instead of elected.
True. True.
It was a process.
Well, Gore kind of gave up, right? He conceded.
Yeah, with all the swinging and pregnant chads and stuff like that.
Well, my grandmother did one of the hanging chads in Florida, so she was part of it.
So blame her. She
voted for Pat Buchanan by accident. She's a diehard Democrat. So it's all her fault. She, sorry.
But one thing you have to understand about the Balkans and the former Yugoslavia countries, we've been having Donald Trump's ever since the 98.
Okay.
That's for Americans to understand. Ever since changing, but most of the time the same type of guys, being ruling.
Make the Balkans great again.
Yeah. So, the people like Donald Trump get the popular support around here.
Oh, people like Trump over there. Oh, you mean no, similar type.
People like him. Yeah, that's it.
People, the politicians like him, get most tough men, politically incorrect, careless about any real minority issues and stuff like that, talking about economy all the time and marrying Slovenians.
And marry
Slovenian.
Yeah, they
go, oh, they're hot, man. They're being the most northern and the most western of the Balkan nations, you know, we find their women, you know, like, wow, the most progressive, you know, they're I wouldn't say them, find them easy, but like relaxed, liberated, go-getters if they want it, you know, whereas the Balkans women being conservative and traditional, they're more like negotiating type, you know, the negotiators, you know, with Slovenes it's nicer. It's always, you know, so, and
they're like our version of, they're like our version of Australians.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, they're, you know, I remember one of your podcasts about are the Swedes Americans of Europe. So, yes. You know, they would be, Slovenians would be the Swedes of the Balkans, something like that.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. They're very attractive. I see what you're saying. Like, there are Swedes.
Yeah, attractive and open-minded and, you know.
Neutral.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
So let's get back to this, the Israel aspect of this, which we have not discussed yet. This whole thing... somewhere at the very bottom of all this list of things that this is going to do to bring together Kosovo and Serbia, it also said, and oh yes, Kosovo will, as part of this deal, Kosovo will normalize relations with Israel, which, you know, I don't think that's really changing. I don't think that's like a big headline.
Kosovo is a Muslim majority country. That was what Trump was saying. Is that true?
Yeah, it is in kind of a census type, you know, but they're they're traditionally Muslim, but most of Albanians in Kosovo are very secular, you know, right. So they're
okay.
It's not
Iran.
Trump's like, making it out to think like, oh yeah, this is Iran. We're getting Iran on Saudi Arabia.
They're not much of a mask.
There's no Ayatollah of Kosovo, so you're saying.
No.
So he bizarrely, you know, wedged in this idea that Kosovo is now normalizing relationships with Israel. And as you said, Serbia is moving their embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. And this is all as an attack on, I guess, the Palestinians, but more.
Well, to explain it, to the embassy issue, it's the embassy. Israel considers their capital Jerusalem, but it's controversial because it hasn't been settled yet. So most countries in the world have always kept their embassies in Tel Aviv
to stay neutral.
So recently, to stay neutral, and then eventually Trump moved it to Jerusalem, and now he's getting other countries to move theirs. He's like, that's part of his package deal with all these.
To me, that has nothing to do anything. With any of this. Am I wrong?
No, it's purely for
No. Yeah, I mean, for us, it was a surprise because, I mean, we've been struggling with our own internal conflicts and you know, which many people falsely blame on the religion itself. You know, I mean, religion differences that we've got are just a lame excuse. You know, it's all about corruption and just like you Americans say, it's all about Benjamins, you know. So nationalism and religion issues is just the false, you know, pretension. But we are also very provincial and, you know, being small nations and everything. So we think that an average person watching this podcast would be surprised with how little you guys know about the Balkans, because we think we are the, you know, navel of the Western civilization, that, you know, we are very important and we're not. And being in that kind of mentality, we don't really pay much attention to the Middle East. I mean, of course, we know that, you know, there is a Palestinian and Israeli issue and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
like we got our own issues. We don't need to worry about,
And, you know, we see that through our own perspective of differences. But for us, it's not the major issue, you know, as it is in the rest of the world. You know, like Israeli-Palestinian issue is to most of the world public much bigger than what's been going on between the tribes in the Balkans, right? So when in this like historic meeting in DC, Trump and the Grinnell guy and everything threw in the Israel issue. Everyone around here was like, what the fuck, man? Why? What's that gonna change?
I mean, your president, I think, was one of them, because there's that great video that went viral where the Trump was talking about the embassy move, and your president, or the Serbian president, was looking at the document like, where is this? What page is this on? I don't remember signing that.
Oh man, all the memes and videos and everything of him over there. Oh man, that was like, that was gold of internet. internet humor and comedy, in the following 48 hours, man. That was just pure gold. You know, like from the memes of Putin on the phone talking, it's like Alexander, which is the first name of the president of Serbia, would you come over for a cup of tea?
Yeah.
We need to talk. And stuff like that. I mean,
well, you know, what do we think Putin thinks of all this? Or has he said anything?
The spokeswoman of the foreign ministry actually made a rather unusually informal comment of the whole thing, of Serbian president sitting across the room in a single chair, across the room from Trump, and she posted on Twitter with a shot of Sharon Stone's legs in Primal, in the base.
Wait, the foreign minister of Russia posted this?
The spokeswoman.
A spokesman?
From the Russian foreign ministry, saying something like, when you have your legs, something, you know, I mean, ridiculing the Serbian minister, Serbian president, which, I mean, to me, it was like, wow, you know, because Russia claiming itself to be the global protector of Serbia and stuff like that. So they were not happy. And how unhappy they were, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a.
I like that they have foreign ministers sending out like me. I mean, I guess we do too with the Trump family now. But
I mean, we haven't thought of the idea of that scene. The Joe Biden is not wearing underwear under the table. Don't give that idea.
Yeah. I mean, I read the translation of the Russian text of this post and didn't really make a connection. But you know him. You know, the Serbian president sitting in this, you know, chair with Sharon Stone's legs, which brings beautiful memories for me.
Sure. That REM, right?
Yeah.
He looks a little Slovenian in those pictures. No.
Well, that's only a compliment, man.
Yes.
another, you know, piece of trivia. I lost my virginity in Slovenia.
Hey! Oh,
congratulations. Hey.
Yeah, and actually, and I just remembered that last year, on the same day in June 28, 1998,
right,
when Serbian president had a huge rally in Kosovo, like a million plus people, where he pretty much announced the war coming in. The same day I was losing my virginity to a Slovenian woman.
Was it because of the war, the connection of the world's going to end? We might as well, like you, the girl's like, let's just have sex because we're
let's put it that
we're going
way.
To war.
I was a visionary. I was, yes. Yeah.
It's a great time to capitalize.
That's well, also
no, no.
the year.
Actually, no. I think I was just doing, yeah, fuck it.
That's also the year Vlade Divac signed with my hometown, the Sacramento Kings. So that was a big year for all of us. Vlade Pezja, your virginity, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. See?
The world changed.
Yeah. Last year of Seinfeld, I think. No.
Yeah. So, yeah. Was it? Yeah.
That so was what's the first it like? Seinfeld. Well, it was the last year here. It might have been the first year in the Balkans. Yeah. I don't know. When
89 was the last year of Seinfeld?
Oh, I thought you said 98. Sorry. 98.
No, 89.
Oh, you said 89. Oh,
I thought you said 98
as well. Vlade was
still
playing on the under 17 team. That
true.
Nah. 89.
Lakers. So what's it like touring around? Do you have to mix up how you approach comedy when you're going between, because there's obviously dicey history between all these different regions in the Balkans, and you tour the Balkans doing comedy. Do they think of you as a Croat or a Serb?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
How does the audience look
like? Yeah. Well, currently touring is none due to COVID situation. But somehow I like, and I've started communicating myself for what I feel to be. I'm a relict of Yugoslavia. So, you know, and there are individuals such as myself who refuse or are objectively not able to identify with any of the succeeding nationalities. So, you know, so I claim myself to be a post-Yugoslav. I'm a technically resident of Croatia now, but I used to live in Bosnia before that, and I hold their nationality, and I was raised in Serbia where my parents still live. I left Serbia in 1987, you know, and I was born in Montenegro. So go figure.
Got it all.
How can I really, you know, so I say that out loud. And the only national public that's got a bit of issue with that is the one in Croatia where I live.
I was wondering.
All the others are somewhat nostalgic or don't care. You know, they remember Yugoslavia is like, oh, or, you know, there is a, as we call it around here, some sort of Yugo nostalgia, except in Croatia where I live, which makes me even more eager to emphasize that.
Right.
So, and changing comedy is not so much. Like I said, the language is pretty much the same. It's just some current affairs from Croatia are not as familiar to the Serbian audiences and stuff like that. So I tend to be very political in my comedy. So, I mean, not only because I'm practical as well. So I would tell dick jokes as well. I would not avoid something in order not to piss the audience. I just would not talk about something because it's not relevant to them. You know, it's like New York affairs with Cuomo would not be interesting to someone in Sacramento.
Don't tell Cuomo this.
Sacramento thinks
the world loves him.
Maybe now with all the you know, coronavirus handling and stuff like that. But, you know, before that, he was just another governor.
I didn't even know who he was 6 months ago.
There you go.
And so, I live in New York.
Do your leaders do the coronavirus daily? Do the Croatian president, do they all do the daily briefings, or were they doing that at one point? Or
we have these kind of national headquarters with their press briefings. It was a big thing earlier on with a Serbian president. He's the, you know, the Serbian president is most probably the closest one to Donald Trump in terms of appearance and rhetorics and stuff like that.
So,
yeah. Not physical appearance. No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Stylistically.
He's not from Bormio. okay. but the style of public, rhetorics and stuff like that, he would appear in these kind of daily briefings for a while, whereas others, not so much. They have a designated, you know, the minister of health and stuff like that, you know, do that.
Why you said that everyone's okay with it except in Croatia. Is it because you currently live in Croatia and you're a Croatian citizen, or is it because of the history?
No, Croatia tends to be the most nationalistic nation in former Yugoslavia, you know, closely followed by Serbs. But, you know, the nationalisms of Croats and Serbs is different. Croats are very, just leave us alone.
Okay.
Just leave us alone. We're no longer one country. Just leave us alone. This is our territory. Just leave us alone. Whereas Serbs are like, come on. You know that you're all Serbs. You're just pretending not to be. So, you know, I'm kind of putting it in kind of extreme, but that's Pretty much so. So, you know, Croatian public, most of it, not everyone, of course. I mean, I live here and I'm alive, but most of the Croatian public is, you know, is doesn't want to remember Yugoslav times much.
Well, that plays against.
That's like, let's put it this way. Some people draw parallel that Serbs would be Russians and Ukrainians would be Croats.
You know, got it.
Similar, yeah, similar.
We have to do another episode on that so we understand that reference, but no.
Yeah,
Serbs
okay.
Are Russians and Croats are Croats. No, but that plays out. There's that documentary, Once Brothers, about Vlade and
Dražen Petrović, yes.
And it plays out exactly how you just said it. Vladi's going, come on, come on. We're all one. We're all one. Everybody relax. And Petrović is no, we're this, you're that, right? I mean, it's
that's pretty much it. Where, and then you have Bosnians in between who are like, come on, guys, really, you know, and they, you know, and they ended up with the most casualty and during the war and everything, are still the most dysfunctioning country in the region.
So we're never going to get a reunion, a reunification just for basketball purposes.
That was going to be my question.
I just want to see Yugoslavia to play basketball in the Olympics again.
No. Unfortunately, but like, then again, you know, you have people, you know, making rather good results. Croatia was, you know, second in the World Cup in soccer, or the rest of the world calling it football. Slovenian two guys, you know, the winner of the Tour de France cycling race, you know, and the runner up are Slovenes, and you know, and
right. And Serbia right now has got the best tennis player in the world, and
exactly. Well, so
the Joker in basketball. Luka is Slovenia, right?
Luka Doncic and
Luka is Slovenian, yes. Yeah. Slovenian.
You can have
and
a whole, this Yugoslavian team could be amazing. Put him together.
Oh yeah, we would kick ass, man. Oh yeah.
Yeah, with the Joker and
Luka's Serb as well. Is that right?
Well, that Serbs would emphasize. Yes, he's Slovenian national, but his parents are Serbs.
His parents are
and
Serbs.
Then, oh, yeah. And then the Bosnians would say, yeah, but Serbs from Bosnia. Oh. So, when we do all these comparisons, I think that if you look from the American perspective, if you look at the Balkans, at least in kind of a cultural parallels, we are the most similar to the region of Appalachia into the south. You know, that's okay. Our culture. Up north, you have Slovenes and Croats who are more kind of a Yankish type.
Okay.
And, those are the blue states. You know,
yeah. And, you know, further south you go, you know, we would be, you know, this kind of a Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, with all the internal differences, which are very big to us, but the rest of the country of the, you know, United States would just say, oh, it's south.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What are the differences? Yeah.
That explains that tennis tournament that Novak put on in the middle of coronavirus, where people were in the stands. And everyone's.
Yeah.
Where was that? Was that in Bosnia? Or that was in.
That was in Croatia. And And we hope that the world forgot about that episode.
I was watching it.
We'll cut that out.
And I checked my TV to make sure it was live. It said live. And I was like,
good job, Kaplan, bringing it up right at the end of the episode.
Thank you, Kaplan. It was live. And unfortunately, everyone survived.
They did.
Well, Peja, thank you for doing the show. How do people get to watch your special, The Balkan Brain? How
can my pleasure. I'm still sitting on it. And I don't know why. I mean, I'm still sitting on it, hoping that Netflix or HBO or Amazon would call me up saying, oh, can we have that masterpiece included in our programming? And for me to say no, and then release it on YouTube. So, I don't know. Most probably, by the end of the year, if I don't find a platform to put it and somewhat monetize it, I'll put it on and you know, just look it up. The Balkan Brain. Don't bother remembering my first and last name. Just the Balkan Brain.
Balkan Brain. It's a good. Yeah.
Yeah, and then just, you know, then enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Peja Bajovic. Thank you guys for doing the show.
Stay well. Go vote.
Go vote, everybody. We'll vote for you.
A message. Yeah.
Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
I think, yeah, go vote, everybody. And let's get lost.
Get lost.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.